Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, recording between Sydney and Singapore, and our podcast number two on COVID-19 impacts on the channel market. I'm joined by Sharon Hugh, a catalyst analyst for the APAC channel sector. Sharon, thanks for joining us again.
No problem. It's good to be back.
It's been 3 weeks since we did our first podcast on this particular topic. That was on the 28th of February. Back then, we noted it was a fast-moving beast that was at 49 countries and about 83,000 cases. 3 weeks since that, and this is as of the 20th of March, we're now at 168 countries and hitting over 209,000 cases. In Australia, we have now gone into self-isolation, social distancing. All events of 500 people or more are cancelled. Outside events, inside events of 100 or more are cancelled. And now they're saying, you know, social distancing of 1.5 metres and the like. And they're talking about a 6-month period that this will be in force mm-hmm. in terms of social distancing. Maybe introduce the audience to what Catalyst is doing in this space and your role as an analyst looking at the channel sector for technology. And then we'll talk about some of the key trends that you're observing as you monitor this situation.
What I do in Canalys is where I focus on the channels, and I look at what's going on in the APAC industry for IT. So what has changed since we last spoke is obviously, as you said, you know, the rise in new infected COVID cases around the world. And likewise, not just Australia, in the other part of APAC, it's also likewise happening. You see that especially in Malaysia and Thailand, India right now is rising. So it's a global as well as a regional situation, of course, with the exception of China. And the most obvious thing that I'm hearing from partners right now is working from home, because in this week, many governments have started implementing country lockdowns as well as putting in place staying at home notices. So that's why that's the biggest thing right now that we are hearing. And likewise, your distributors and your partners, as well as the IT vendors, They are now instituting their work from home policies. One of the impact of these increasing travel bans and stay at home notices is that it no longer just impacts the hardware partners. It also impacts to some extent the service providers, because in the past you could find alternative manpower to visit a client's site on the spot, but with the increasing travel bans, there's fewer alternatives that partners could look for.
How much do you think the travel bans will impact? Again, something I didn't mention is Australia now has closed its borders, so no foreign nationals are allowed into the country. And we're also starting to see interstate bans. And if you do travel interstate, starting to implement 14-day isolation policies. So that travel aspect, Qantas has shut down. They've just put 20,000 staff on notice. And we're seeing the airline industry being the first ones to buckle early. How much is that going to impact on the tech sector when not just travel, but potentially that supply chain trade is still going to be impacted?
You know, the manpower of a service provider side, I'm taking examples from India. So likewise, your big system integrators, your Wipro, Tata, they have, you know, started implementing work from home policies. I have read is that not all employees are able to work from home. If I'm not wrong, it says about 14% of their employees can work from home. So what is going to be the overall impact? Well, there's certainly going to be challenges in terms of servicing customers. Customers probably have to rely on their own internal resources as well as what they have existing to cope with whatever challenges they have. And I think the extent also differs by across different countries here in APAC, because we are at different stages of, you know, coming to terms with what it means to us. So, for example, I spoke to this Indian partner this morning. What he is telling me is that right now they are still unclear on what's going to be the impact to them. They have some ideas as to what's going to happen, but it's not yet sinking into them or the customers. So they have not yet seen a decline in customer orders yet, but that's because the customers probably don't know yet what is coming for them.
Yeah.
That's
a key aspect, is it not, in terms of the customers. At the moment, customers are distracted just by their own response and organisation in relation to COVID and their own workforce, and then their own customers beside that. So there's a lot of distraction just now from a distributor's perspective in the channel. They're going to be in a bit of a wait and see until everyone's bedded down what they are planning for the next sort of 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. The term that you use, wait and see, is exactly what I've been hearing quite a lot these days. But in fact, I think partners and vendors can actually start preparing for what's going to happen already. I mean, you've seen what has happened in China. There are lessons that we can take from what is going on there. So we have carried out a survey this week on what support they want from vendors. So the top two things that they have told us is that first of all, they want timely communications on products, on the supply chain, delivery times, lead times. But this itself might be an issue, might be difficult for some vendors because some of them are unsure themselves. The other thing that partners are asking for is flexibility in terms of their credit terms and conditions. We've heard from Dell that they are working with their financing partners right now on how to forward this benefit to their partners. In terms of supply chain, from the survey that we did, we found that a lot of many channel partners in both EMEA and APAC are expecting a shortage in product supply in Q2.
Can you elaborate on the shortage of what?
We've asked about PCs, PCs, servers, networking, and servers. Partners have said they expect a decline in all of these products, but it differs by product category. So the impact that they are telling us would be most obvious in PCs. In APAC, right now, they expect the shortage to worsen in Q2, whereas in EMEA, the shortage in Q2 is because it's exacerbated by the surge in Q1 because of all the work from home policies being implemented. So it's not yet clear how bad the shortage in APAC would be, because right now we are not yet seeing a significant surge in demand for PCs.
That's likely to change in the current quarter as the results start coming through.
Yeah, that's what we are still investigating. If you look at the manufacturing capacity, smartphones are now back to 90% operating capacity, and a lot of the supply chain shortage would be due to cargo restrictions across the borders.
Can I just jump in there? In terms of the smartphone manufacturing capacity in China is resuming back, and you estimate at about a 90% level?
This is what they are telling us, yeah. So this is better than what...
Who's reporting that?
Vivo, for one, and also a few other ODMs that we have spoken to internally.
Okay. Yeah. And any indication of where in China they are?
I didn't ask about that, but what they are saying is that things are going back to normal. Yeah, this situation is better than what we originally predicted last month, where we predicted, I think it's 80% or 85% operating capacity. Yep. So this is more optimistic. The block right now would be coming more from the transportation, the cargo restrictions there. So a partner that I spoke to, India, is saying, yes, they are seeing fewer containers coming in, less loading from metals and plastics. And he expects this to be growing lower in the next few weeks. The bottleneck is in the cargo transportation, but as well as maybe the demand side. So the demand side would also impact how drastic the shortage would be. The challenge right now is how well the government's responding to this COVID outbreak and how well society, the social capital, is enabled to cope with them, both in terms of mental preparedness as well as resource availability in there.
What's your sense, before we kind of wrap it up, in terms of where Singapore is? I can tell you that the warnings of social distancing here in Australia aren't really getting through right now, but it is Australia, and we've just had some warm weather in Sydney, and yesterday there was thousands of people down at Bondi Beach, so the Australians are still thinking, oh, the beach might be the safest place, but at the moment it's not abiding by the social distancing policy. What's your sense there in Singapore?
My sense in Singapore, I think it's a mixture. I do think there are people who are making an effort to stay at home more, But I do think there's also a certain level of ease or maybe even complacency among the people in terms of, you know, it's still pretty okay. It looks, when you walk outside, it's pretty quiet and peaceful. So you get that sense, that false sense of security. So when you look outside, you might think, okay, you know, I can still afford to go out for a dinner or meet up with friends a bit. So I won't say we are completely in a situation where all of us are staying at home, but definitely we are more cautious of what's going on. But if you talk about mentality, right, I do think there's a lower level of anxiety compared to before, since we've been through this this rise once, and now we are, I personally feel like we are in a better position to cope with what's going on. But one impact that we had on Wednesday was from the lockdown that Malaysia announced this week. There was some panic buying. A significant portion of our food supply comes from Malaysia, and it wasn't clear how it was going to impact our food supply. So there was some anxiety among people, which led to some panic buying. But we do have enough stock to last us for a few months. So I think it's like I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So hopefully, in 2 or 3 weeks or even a month, things would be improved, and I believe it will.
I'll give you some kudos. You were right on the China responding by mid-March in terms of their manufacturing, and I think certainly one to follow in terms of the interviews that you're doing. I think that's the best thing to do when you're doing sort of that analytical and reporting work, is to get on the ground and start talking to people in your own sort of membership base. So sort of a few takeaways on this one. Supply chain situation in China is gradually improving, with indicators that smartphone manufacturing, as an example, is returning and resuming back at about a 90% level, as was predicted, but that was also predicted as a best case scenario. So that's a good thing. European, Middle East and Asia, sorry, African countries and the APAC partners are expecting IT supply shortage in Q2, and that has been exacerbated by the demand surge Q1. And partners across APAC, including Singapore, India, Malaysia, Philippines, are now being told to work from home, with the exception of China. And it is somewhat ironic that China is returning back first to be hit, and really it's only affected them for sort of 3 to 4 months. When I mentioned at the start, the Australian government's indicating that this could be a 6 month or longer time frame. So it's very difficult to predict where it's going. And I think the other key takeaway that you raised was the financing for the channel, and also from the financial services that the vendors offer. So it's going to impact all businesses. I think your top of your notes here say a global recession is certain. The only question will be how severe it actually becomes. So we'll touch base, I think, in another 2 to 3 weeks. We'll just continue to monitor this. We'll continue to monitor the work that Canalys does, and particularly for the APAC channel. Stay safe there in Singapore. Sharon Hugh, the APAC channel analyst for Canalys. Thanks for joining us on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Okay, thanks so much, Chris. Stay safe.
Thanks, Sharon. Stay safe.